I love greeting everybody. Welcome to New Life.
So welcome to another virtual worship service. We do miss you. And we hope that as you participate in this service this morning, that you'll experience something of a sense of community as we worship together. So welcome.
I come to you, for I know he satisfies. Good morning, and thank you for joining us for worship. I just want to say, I know it's difficult to experience the same thing that we would experience when we're together in this building, worshiping together. But I think it's powerful. Across all of our households, we are lifting up the name of Jesus Christ in praise and worship. And I want to be together, and I can't wait to be together. But for the time being, this is a great way to still honor and praise God together. So thank you for leading us together, worship team. As government restrictions have been easing, our leadership team is continuing to process what that means for us. And it looks like for the time being, at least for the next four Sundays, we'll continue meeting virtually like this as we process how to keep everyone healthy. That's our number one priority. How to do this along the Fraser Health guidelines, and how to do this so that it's accessible for as many of the priority people as we can make this accessible. But one thing we do want to encourage you to do is to consider extending your connections to your life group. Being in a life group is a significant part of experiencing a significant piece of our vision, which is to belong in a diverse community. And so if you are part of a life group, we want to encourage you to think of extending your social sphere to include your life group and begin doing some physical distancing gathering. I know that our life group has done that, and I was just so blessed to be together and even to sing and worship together with our life group around a fire in a big barn, and it was so good to be together once again. So that's one way that we want to encourage you to begin to extend your social sphere. We want to thank you for joining us in our service this morning, and we want to make sure that you are being supported at this time. One of the ways that we can support one another is just to continue checking in with one another. Just a simple call, a text, an email saying, how are you? How are you doing? Is there anything you need? Can we help you? And we also want to extend that offer to you. If you're struggling right now financially, if you're struggling emotionally, we'd love to have you reach out to us and connect with us and let us know what's going on in your life. And so we are actually going to announce something very interesting this morning, very exciting this morning. So New Life Missions team has decided to take on a pretty amazing project. There's a really big need currently in Lare, Honduras. You'll know and you'll recall from other services that we are partnered with Nueva Vida in Lare, Honduras. That's a church in a little town called Lare that we're supporting, and we've been partnering with them for a number of years. The community of Lare is in desperate need right now. Because of all of the government restrictions and because commerce has slowed the flow of much needed supplies and much needed food to the community of Lare, they're in dire straits right now. They're in need for food. They are more concerned currently about struggling with starvation than catching the COVID-19 disease. And so the New Life Missions team is wanting to contribute in a really powerful way. And that way is to provide food for everyone in the community of Lare for at least 1 month. And so the New Life Missions team has committed $5,000 that we've raised through our coffee sales, but we still need another $20,000. And so we're appealing to you, our community, to ask if you'd be able to give. And so that's what our offering is for this morning. If you are able to give, we'd love to ask you to give to the community of Lare, who are in desperate need right now. There's lots of different ways that you can give. This morning, we can give through e-transfer, you can give online, and if you've downloaded the New Life app, which we encourage you to do, you can give through the app as well. Let's take time right now to pray. Lord, we thank you that we can come before you in a time like this, and still we can lift up your name and declare your faithfulness and to declare your goodness. Lord, as government restrictions are easing and we're finding ways to extend our connections, Lord, would you create in us a desire to gather in life groups, to gather in small groups, to just check in with one another, and to also take time to read your word and to sing your praises together. Lord, we thank you for the small clusters of communities that you have created inside of this beautiful family at New Life Church. This morning, our hearts are heavy for those brothers and sisters living in Lare, Honduras. Lord, would you walk alongside them as you always have? Lord, through your Holy Spirit, would you give them a reminder of your comfort and your peace and your nearness in this difficult time? Lord, would you enable it so that supplies and food can get to them? And Lord, would you multiply this offering that we're taking this morning for their benefit? Lord, we thank you that you have called us into partnership with this incredible community. And we ask, Lord, that you would support us and multiply this offering to their benefit and to your glory, Lord. We thank you. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Now, kids, now is a great time for you guys to maybe step aside for just a moment. And Pastor Sam has another great kids' church message for you. So parents, if you want to take a moment right now just to pause and on another device, maybe with some headphones, set them beside you to connect through the kids' message. So we'll just take a moment to do that. All right, we're going to continue in our series called Strong and Sure. And Nathan Elgersma is in George and Flory Boer's backyard surrounding a tree. And we're going to continue in that series. So let's join Pastor Nathan.
Thanks, Kuhn. And good morning. Welcome again to New Life, and so glad that you've joined us for another virtual worship service. We are at George and Flory's backyard here, and in front of their meditation tree, they call it. So how can I help it but not to preach in front of a meditation tree? And we're using the image of trees to convey the message of living confidently in the midst of uncertain times, to be strong and sure. And we've covered some really important material as we move through the letter of 1 John in the back of the New Testament. We've talked about the certainty of the existence of Jesus and how that makes us confident because we know that with Jesus entering into our physical world, God in that sense is a physical God. He cares about our physical situation. We've also talked about the certainty of our forgiveness, that God forgives us and restores us into right relationship with Him. And we've also talked about the certainty of identity, that we are children of God, that we belong to Him, and that we are becoming more like Christ. And that remains our challenge in the midst of uncertainty, to live confidently and become more like Christ. But that certainty is not enough. It's not enough simply to be certain about a few things in our faith and then carry on with the rest of our lives. And so John goes on to instruct us to put that certainty into practice. And here's what he says in 1 John chapter 3. He says, "For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Don't be like Cain," and he's referring to the Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve, our first parents. "We should love one another. Don't be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother." And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. "Don't be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or a sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? dear children. And there's that favorite phrase of John's, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So John is telling us that if we want to live confidently in uncertain times, it's not just a matter of holding on to certainties, but to put that certainty into practice by loving one another. Such a simple message, perhaps even way too obvious. And yet, why do we find it so difficult then to incorporate that into our everyday lives, perhaps even on a consistent basis? And why do we try to weasel out of that message when things aren't going our way? I want to explore that with you this morning. Why it is so difficult, why we tend to ignore this message, why it's so important for John as he encourages people to live confidently in their faith in the midst of so much uncertainty. Why does he draw on this business of loving one another? Such a simple message. Well, the natural consequence of living in uncertain times, I think, at least in the first place, is that we tend to take control of things. We want to place things in our own hands. It's a control thing. And what politician, what health official, haven't you argued with, at least in your own mind, simply because, well, what do they know? In the midst of so much uncertainty, how do we know that their recommendation is the best one? How do we know that social distancing is going to, nobody really actually knows. And so we want to take things into our own hands. Even if we're unsure of the way forward, we're sure that everybody else is wrong. Naturally, we have this tendency to revert to our own self-dependence. We rely on our own strength, on our own knowledge, on our own abilities. And then what self-dependence gets expressed in is with, on a spectrum, on either one side, it gets expressed by arrogance and pride. And on the other end of that spectrum, it gets expressed in fear and panic. You've probably experienced this, if not even just in your own mind. A person is so sure, for example, that this pandemic is either just not believable or it's just not going to get them, and so they disregard all the recommendations and regulations that are offered. Arrogance and pride, and they just go about doing their own thing, taking control of themselves. On the other hand, a person might hear the regulations and recommendations made by health officials, and they're convinced that this is some kind of conspiracy, fear and panic. And that's why it's hard for us to incorporate this message of loving one another into our lives, because we're so driven by this self-reliance, depending on ourselves and on our own resources to get through in life. It seems like it's a natural tendency, and John recognizes that when he tells the story of Cain and Abel and offers the suggestion that Cain was so confident that he was wronged that he kills his brother. That confidence, that arrogance leads him to take matters into his own hands. And it's the very opposite of love. And here's the other thing, though, is that it's not just a matter of arrogance and pride, because underneath Cain's actions really was a fear of not being accepted, a fear of not being enough, a fear of not being sufficient. And so when John circles back to this theme of loving one another in chapter 4, he says this about love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. And we might add, it also drives out arrogance and pride. In other words, loving one another demonstrates a freedom to not have to rely on ourselves. It demonstrates a freedom to be able to rely on God's provision and on God's strength. Loving one another also, of course, then disciplines us not to be confident in ourselves. And so we've talked so much about certainty in the last several weeks as we've following this letter of John. And so we might think it's all about living in certainty, grabbing a hold of that certainty. But if we rely on certainty alone, we will fall into arrogance and pride. But when that certainty is practiced by loving one another, then we can enter into a freedom that allows us to flourish no matter what our circumstances are. The message to love one another then gets muddled, and we tend to ignore it because we take matters into our own hands and rely on ourselves. But we also tend to misplace it in our lives because of our own definitions of what love really is. We define love rather easily according to what we're content with. We make love into what satisfies me. We exercise love based on what we think others deserve or what they're worth to us. And so instead of directing our love, though, we need God to define our love. We need God to shape love within our own lives. And that's why John says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. That's God's definition of love, of giving up ourselves. Again, when John circles back to the theme of love in chapter 4, he adds this, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And the point that John is making is that the usual definitions and expectations of love are completely turned upside down when God defines love. So let's not focus on how well we can love, but let's focus on identifying how God loves us and then to imitate that. That's why Jesus can say when he's preaching in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, and he says, you've heard it said, love your neighbor. And I'm imagining all the crowds of people saying, oh, yeah, we've heard that message before. And then Jesus adds, but I say to you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. How can Jesus say that? How can he define and change the usual expectations of love? Because as the Son of God, God is the one who shapes love. That leads the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5 to talk about God's love, that God loves us even while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us, he says. You see, God defines love not according to what he gets out of it, not what it's worth to him. God defines love in terms of self-giving. And here we get at the heart of the gospel itself, I believe. The way to live our lives is to give up ourselves. And admittedly, that is difficult to do. But that's the shape of the gospel. A gospel-shaped life is not a matter of getting ahead in life, but it is giving up ourselves for the sake of others so that they can flourish. A gospel-shaped life is not a matter of whether you're right or not. It's a matter of whether you can and are willing to relinquish your rights. And so living confidently in uncertain times is going to challenge us. It's going to challenge our usual definitions of love, and it's going to challenge our expectations of what it means to love one another. It is challenging. It's challenging to love the people who go down the wrong way in a one-way aisle now in a grocery store. It's challenging to love somebody who sneezes right in front of you. More seriously, perhaps, it's challenging to love those who are in economic hardship when our own economy is so uncertain. Honoring and respecting people for their own sake, not because they conform to us, not because they do what we need them to do, but simply honoring them, respecting them, instead of drawing into our self-reliance, instead of drawing into the fear of our own uncertainty and seeking simply to protect ourselves. Let's honor one another, love one another. Frankly, we don't live this gospel message, finally, because, well, we're afraid. We're afraid to love deeply. We're afraid to love as outrageously as the gospel calls us to love. We'll live with love in words, but we find it a lot harder to live with love in our action and in truth, as John says in verse 18 of chapter 3. You see, when we live in love with action, we're full of, yeah, buts. Yeah, but they started it. We qualify our love with, yeah, but they don't deserve it, and all those kinds of things. And we start defining love then according to what our expectations are. Look, we can only love deeply when God lives in us. When God gives of himself to us. John writes, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." Did you catch that? That we might live through him. Of course, we can't love with God-sized love unless we are in God, and God is in us. And so a few verses later, John writes, "This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit." In the same way that the gospel calls us to give of ourselves, God has already given of himself. He's given his Spirit to live in us. And so we know and rely, John says, on the love that God has for us. So here's another challenge for us then in the midst of hearing this message, this call from the Word of God to love one another, is to remind ourselves constantly, day by day, moment by moment even, of God's love for us. Because God's love is going to remind us that he's placed himself in our hearts so that we can love deeply, so that we can love outrageously even. In the coming days, as we start talking about reopening and resuming activities and resuming the economy and all kinds of things, as we get more anxious, more frustrated with social distancing and just wanting it to be over, the challenge is going to be for us to love one another. When somebody wants to go faster than the reopening is occurring, and some of us want to go slower than it's occurring. And the call goes out to us to love one another. You see, we can't be confident in ourselves. But if we're confident in God's love, that's going to free us to flourish. If we're confident in God's love, we'll be strong in a love that goes deeper than we thought possible, a patience that we thought was out of reach, a grace that seems absurd to everybody else, and a love that seems supernatural. Because it is from God. Let's pray together. Almighty God, help us to love. It seems so simple. It seems so obvious. And yet, God, our lives get turned upside down by circumstances and situations that we find ourselves in and we pull into ourselves. So, God, we confess that too often we rely only on ourselves and we forget about you, or we ignore you, or we simply don't trust you. Help us to trust. We pray, Father, for your Spirit to enter into our lives, and that as you give of yourself, we may give of ourselves to love one another. Show us, Father. Show us the places, the people, the times in which we need to love, to give up ourselves for the sake of one another. And so, God, may you be honored, may you be glorified in the way we live our lives according to gospel-shaped love. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, go into this week then with that command to love one another, and with the confidence that you can love as God loves, because you are in God and God is in you. And so go in peace and go with love, the love of God, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in worship. Have an incredible week.